And good morning, folks, and welcome to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is March 9th, 2024, and if it was yesterday, I'd say happy 308 day, but we're a day late for that. But we do say welcome to you folks out there, and thanks for being here. We'll bring the men online. Good morning. I can see we got Josh on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, Remnant. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer, and I'll ask Brother Tim. Tim, would you go ahead and lead us off with a word of prayer?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for another day and another opportunity to serve you, Lord. We come before you and ask your blessings upon this ministry this day, Lord, and upon this outreach from this ministry, that it might touch lives, change viewpoints, Lord, and change the very reality of people's world through the power of Christ, through the ways of our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that many would come to Christ as a result of the efforts that are put forth. Lord, we pray for protection for your people in these trying times. Lord, we see all about us enemies. And Lord, we know that all about us are our defenders, that they stand for us and they protect us, and that we are to fear not. But Lord, we pray that you would strike fear upon your enemies. Lord, that you would make them your footstools this day. And Lord, that you, every knee would bow and proclaim Jesus Christ as King. We ask it. We believe it. We thank you for it. By Christ's blood, we believe it will happen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, there's definitely a lot to talk about this morning. One of the things that I noticed this morning that got sent in from Canada was, could Canada farmers join the EU climate change? And Derek sent in some video footage that I watched this morning, and in it was just like, wow. The miles, from what it looked like from the videos, of tractors that were lined up to, protesting again. It was quite shocking to see how many tractors, and those tractors were big, fancy, nice, expensive tractors. Miles of them lined up. And I guess this these Canadian farmers are doing the same thing. Is that basically they're wanting to stand with the EU, from what I understand. They're just saying higher costs and lower profits. One of the things that I know that I've seen a lot of stuff that's come out of is that they're not talking about is the EPA regulations that they're imposing upon these farmers with this farm equipment too. Is, you know, just trying to, I mean, they're getting less fuel economy, fuel prices are higher, requiring DPF systems on tractors, and emissions in a lot of areas. And I mean, that's something that it's really going to put a crippling on farmers. I know across the United States, if they try to push that here, and I know they're pushing for it, but we'll see what happens with it. Does anybody else have any more information on that?
Yeah, it's in Poland, they're having a big row too. You know, they have just a mountain of police, and these people are coming against them. And all over Europe, you know, Belgium, the guys were taking their tractors and pushing the concrete barriers out, and then turning to spread around, blowing crap on the policemen and stuff like that. That's worldwide. But the farmer's not innocent either. He hasn't farmed in God's way either. So it's a two-edged sword, as I see it.
Yeah, that's the way that I see it too. We'll see what happens with it, but interesting. And you know what, one of the things is people are just getting fed up with, you know, farmers are getting fed up with the government telling them how they need to farm.
Well, one of the things I think about the farmers is I sit there and I watch them, and like the way they sell all their products and stuff like that. I mean, I kind of think they're throwing themselves at the mercy of the system anyway. You look at the Amish people, they have their own system, they have their own marketing strategy, and they do quite well. as a general, as a group of people as a whole. You know, they could probably do a lot less acreage, and if they put more time in their own marketing, they would do a lot better in life anyway. You know, I mean, with my business, like, you know, I'm responsible for doing my own marketing, and like, I sell myself, you know. I think if they put a little more energy in that, they'd do a lot better, and they wouldn't be so worried about what the government's doing and that sort of thing, you know. They could get, if they just cut out the middleman and just sell directly to the consumer, like you see a lot of these people at farmers markets doing, they seem to be a lot happier, and they don't really, I don't think they're too worried about what's going on around them. They're just kind of worried about what's going on their own place, and they're so excited to sell you the product that they produced. I mean, you're happy to give them that extra little bit of money.
Well, they got an ombudsman in court out in Pennsylvania right now. They're going after them, too, you know, because they're having a pretty big impact on society, because some of the people, are they really market a lot of stuff, and they're being attacked as we speak. Nobody's immune, actually. But these farm markets are flourishing. You know, people want to buy local. They are, well, they want better food and stuff like that, and that's they're aware of that. But like one of these farmers said, he's kind of double-minded, but he said these farmers are more interested in their mailbox than they are their crop, you know, for what the government's got to give them, and insurance and stuff like that. A lot of these farmers shouldn't be in business. They're just immoral people, whether you know it or not.
Well, it's part of the sin that is just permeated so every part of our land, you know, there's those that just embrace and are so full of that Babylonian system. It's like when Moses had the children in the wilderness, and there were some that said, oh, Moses, you brought us out of a land of milk and honey and into this desert, and you promised us a land of milk and honey, and you haven't delivered. And they complained, oh, at least we had graves in Egypt. At least, you know, we had leeks and onions and those type things. And those people that couldn't get Egypt, they were out of Egypt, but they couldn't get Egypt out of them. And that's how so many are today. They embrace this ungodly system, and it's turning around and biting them. Farmers, like you said, Paul, all over Canada and the all over the EU. And it is just, it will lead to a famine. I think that it's part of what's going, you know, what God is bringing about to let people have the opportunity to come out of her, because it's every aspect of this Babylon is falling down. And then on the other hand, like you said, these farmers markets and people that are having raw milk for sale and raw cheese and things like that are doing it just locally, that is much closer. And you usually find those people are at least closer to being Christians than those corporate farmers, that's for sure. And it's better all around.
Well, but in my opinion, at any rate, when you got somebody that's fed up with a system and is wanting to do something different, which is where these people are, they're a lot more likely to be looking for, okay, I see this hitting the right way. What is the right way? You know, and so they're doing with what they've been doing. I mean, a lot of these folks are family farms that have been going down this road to perversion for, you know, generations, decades, and they've been pushed in this direction by a perfectly orchestrated system that's had countless hours put into it, figuring out how to manipulate these people that are producers, that are God's people, that are able to have the land bear fruit for them. You know, they've been manipulated and worked into a corner. Well, if you're going to keep the farm, this is what you're going to do. You've got to produce this amount. You've got to do this. You've got to have this yield. You've got to have this equipment. You know, it's a process of brainwashing, just like they've gotten the rest of us. None of us are immune to it. They're just in their place. And it's a whole lot easier to see, you know, where they're wrong than where we're wrong. But I'm proud that they are standing up and they are flying that flag to the establishment. And I pray that they do find out what they're supposed to be doing and figure out a better way than the government's way of just, oh, well, the crops failed. They're going to send me a check. You know, that's not where we're supposed to be. I mean, I'm not supposed to be depending on them for anything. You're supposed to just be depending on God and your sweat to make it happen. So proud that they're doing it, and I just hope and pray that that they see a better way. And if we get an opportunity to talk to, you know, some of the farmers that are fed up with it, we need to share a better way. Hey, there is a better way out there, God's way. And this ain't it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We see there's a lot of people that are firing back and fighting back on different fronts, and it was encouraging to me. Yesterday I read an article, and the title of it is Two Anti-Trans Ballot Initiatives Move Closer to November Ballot. This week in Colorado, the title board approved two ballot initiatives targeting transgender people in Colorado. Public athletic program for minors, which would require transgender athletes to complete according to their sex assigned at birth in school or in athletics. It would prohibit certain medical procedure for minors, which would ban gender affirming care for anyone under 18. And according to Monday's news release, both initiatives are endorsed by the Colorado GOP. I am sick and tired of the LGBTQ being used as a crutch to indoctrinate children to promote this queer ideology and gender identity nonsense, said a representative for the public athletic program for minors. Initiatives on March 5th episode of the Clum Munson Show. If you're paying attention to what's happening in the House that strip parents of their rights, that trample our First Amendment rights and are harmful to children, it's absolutely not okay for us to under the inclusion and freedom to do this stuff to children. And we're seeing that all across the country as people are flying back. Boy, they sure accepted it pretty quick, but people are fighting back, and you know, they're realizing that these athletes, you know, they can't compete. You know, a woman that was born a woman can't compete against a man who says that he's a woman and expect to win, compete. I mean, it's not fair, and their people are getting fed up with it, and they're fighting back, so that's good. I mean, that's, you know, you see that, and it's like, where have you guys been all along, though? It's like, you know, come on, it's about time.
Well, I personally feel that the Spirit of God is moving. You know, there's businesses around here that are closing down on Sunday now, and these people don't know what's going on, really, but I think the Spirit of God is going, and there's going to be the right and the left, and the line's being drawn. You know, we have to just say it is written, it's wrong. I mean, just like that lady with us, she was ticked off at me about she had two queers in her family, and my last word was, I said, it's wrong. And she settled down, and she's very nice to me now. But it's, you know, you can't argue with a fool; you'll become a fool.
Yeah. Like, well, and like you said, that the lines are being drawn, and there's being the left, and there's the right, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the distinction, because like there, you know, we see people that are standing up saying, "Hey, enough is enough, and we're not going to have this anymore, and we need to fight for it." And then you get companies like North Face. This one was just kind of like, are you serious? You're gonna try this again? You know, go woke, go broke, as far as I'm concerned. But North Face offers discounts for customers taking equality courses that says that black people can't enjoy the outdoors. The North Face company is offering customers a discount if they complete an equality course that teaches how white people never experience racism and how the outdoors is oppressive against black people. The North Face parent company VF Corporation launched a racial equality course that states how white people never experience hardship due to their color of their skin and that black people are barred from outdoor activities because of systemic racism and oppression. Now, that's a perfect example of what you were talking about, Paul, of separating the right from the left.
Yep. Yeah, it's going on. And not only that, I've read in the past where the racists will go back to their own kind. It's just a matter of time. They figure, hey, this ain't working, you know. Black people ain't white, and white people ain't black. I mean, it's just the way it is. There's a difference.
Well, yeah, exactly. And one of the things, these black people, they're getting ticked off too. And I've seen it. I've seen several videos and read several articles, and they're getting ticked off. And they're saying, you know, hey, we got to stop this illegal immigration that's taking place. You know, they're taking all our money. And they've had enough of that. I know, and it's not just the big cities, but it's up there in it's definitely going on in New York, but Chicago, same thing. As they said that the crime that is taking place between the blacks and these, you know, Venezuelans and Mexicans and basically all these brown guys that are coming across the southern border is just getting out of hand. And from what I understand, that even the National Guard's been called out. And as in the subways and stuff, trying to keep law and order because the police ain't doing anything about it.
Well, why would they do anything about it? They got defunded.
No, we're in an absolute state of anarchy because there's nothing. You know, look at Biden. He's a full-blown crook. And I don't know if I like Trump or not, but I'm telling you what, they sure picking on him. And, yeah, I don't really know what's going, but there is no place to go for a remedy. The courts have been corrupt forever. If you had enough money, you could buy yourself out of murder. I mean, it's just the courts have been, you know, and the Bible strictly encourages us not to go to court. So that must have been going on for a long time. So nothing new under the sun, but I'll tell you, we're in a state of anarchy. I'm kind of waiting for that eclipse.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
And then you got you take that with all these illegals getting their funding, and you know, somebody brought up, and I think it's been brought up several times, but I think it's a really good, valid point. Is, you know, you've got all these illegals that are coming across, and they're getting their $3,000 a month or $10,000 a month, depending on where they're at and what they're doing. What happens when you take all those people, and all of a sudden the check stops coming, to so to speak, when they don't have anything? That's when I think things are really going to get interesting, and it's going to happen.
Well, what if the check don't stop and the food ain't there? Same effect.
Yeah, exactly. Then the check's worthless also.
Yeah. No, it's interesting times, and the lines have been drawn, and we got to look at it. You know, it's the gospel, it's the good news. We got to stand on that, because if I look at people around me and the news or anything else, it gets very, very depressing. But we got to settle the gospel, and we know who wins when we win. But we are going to be chastised and tested. We've got it coming. We disobeyed. You know, even my neighbor's lawless. That affects me also. So you can't just get, you know, there's no easy way out of this.
No, absolutely not. You know, but at the same time, we get weary and you smile at the future and you press on and you work hard at it. I mean, me and Josh were talking about it yesterday, and it's like, you know, one of the things that, you know, when you leave this earth, you know, and you leave, you can have all the money in the world and you can't take it with you. You know, what you leave behind is, you know, you leave behind your replacements, and you hope you leave them with a good name. And it's, I don't know, Josh, why don't you elaborate on what we were talking about a little bit?
Yeah, and so then Zach and I talked about it as well, and then a little bit this morning, but I was just reflecting on myself. And that's where most things, you know, we pray to God, show us. And most of the time, the way I learn is through mistakes, because apparently sometimes I'm one of these guys where, you know, you got to touch it to realize it's hot and that it burns. And then maybe again, too. I understand it was red and it burnt that time, but it might not be as hot this time, you know. So, but anyway, I was thinking about, you know, like, what are we doing here? You know, and I do that a lot. You got to have a big picture. You got to have an overview. You got to have a plan. What do you want in life? And one of the things that's important to me, anyway, is to be able to keep on, you know, long term, is to figure out, you know, what is your happiness. And different people have different answers. You know, what makes you happy. But in my instance, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, what's your happiness worth? And, like, what would you sell 4 hours of your happiness for? What would you sell a day of being happy for? What's the value to you? You know, having, okay, I'm a, for $50, I'm gonna have a crappy day in which I look at everything negative and I'm a terrible person to be around, you know, or what's your number? $100. And, you know, because things happen, somebody cuts us off in traffic and, you know, we get mad about it and you stay mad for half a day, you know. You get a crappy waitress that messes up your order and is rude to you, that might take a whole day, you know. And so for a $30 meal, you know, that you still wouldn't, like, the end result was you got some food, but for $30, you sold your whole day of being happy. And, you know, what's a day worth it? And so presented that to you and Zach both, and you know, everybody's got their different perspectives, but to me, you know, being happy is to be doing something and getting some fulfillment, whether I'm spending time with my son or whether I'm working, producing something from the ground or providing a service or whatever. I like to be doing something and being fruitful. That makes me happy. I like to be working for God first and then my brother and then my family and everybody around me. You know, it's like an umbrella, the way it shapes and what your priorities are. And that's fulfilling to me. And, you know, also, too, you recognize that, you know, at some point that's benefiting me as well. It's not just for everybody else, not trying to make it out like I'm a, you know, Christian martyr that's sacrificing my life for everyone. No, that's not normally the way it happens sometimes where it does cost you to help others. But normally, you know, God blesses us, the ones that are freely give and bless others with your time and efforts and money and whatever it is that he puts in front of you. And so for me to be working in God's will, that's like, that is my happiness. And I realize a lot of times I give that up so cheaply. Like, you know, would you come and work for me for, and I'm not saying me, but just, you know, go work doing whatever for $30 for a 12-hour day? No, you're probably not, you know, but yet for $30, I'll throw away my day and be mean to my children and kick the dog when I walk by them and get less done, you know, all over some dumb stuff that shouldn't matter. And so if we put a value on, and you can call it whatever you want to call it. I know happy sounds all rainbows and unicorns. I'm not trying to be that guy, but if you just put a value on your happiness and recognize whenever something's happening, steal your joy. I think Paul refers to it as joy more. If you recognize that, hey, you know, this is a cup of coffee that's stealing my joy, that's running my day, I'm not going to let this situation devalue me to the point where, you know, it's got control over me and I'm going to let it have my day. And so, kind of a big deal because we've only got so many days here. We only got so many hours. And it only takes one instance to I'm not going to say destroy your name, but to definitely put a chink in your armor of who Jason is to the people around him or who Zach is to the people around him. Whenever you lose your cool and show your behind, you know, that people recognize because they're watching us. Like, a lot of them are watching us because they like seeing us prosper, and others are watching us because they want to see us fail and whatever. Regardless, people are watching, and we should be wearing Christ on us, you know. And you shouldn't have to have a daggum t-shirt that tells us I'm a Jesusian and, you know, watch me or whatever. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm not saying to be ashamed or on the other side either, but people ought to be able to see the way you act and know there's something different about you. When everything's going to heck and it's rough and it's tough and it's whatever, you know, and you're prospering, people see that and they see something different. And they're a lot more likely to listen to you, you know, if you got something going your way because you got a connection with God versus if you're just drowning like everybody else. They're not going to very well think you've got it figured out.
Well, and I think, Josh, the scripture that the scripture that ties in with that is Nehemiah 8:10, and it says, quote, "Then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So, couple of things, you know, what day is that? It's, the day is holy to the Lord, to our Lord. I think he's talking about every day there, you know, every 365 days out of the year. And it's, then it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you allow something like that, you know, a crummy breakfast, crummy waitress, somebody that, you know, ticked you off, was rude to you or something like that, and you lose that joy of the Lord, we lose our strength, because that is our strength.
Well, you know, I came up with a statement years ago. I said, who am I going to let steal my joy? And I decided nobody. And that's a choice. You say in the morning, that you get up in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. That's what you start with. And I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. Even if I have to tell them off. So, but no, it's a choice. It's a mental choice. People that have faith, people that don't have faith, flat don't understand it.
That is a
fact. You got to treat it like it's precious and it's valuable, and you got to protect it.
Yeah.
Every breath of you is precious, you know. It's God-given. He owns, you know, he's a jealous God. I remember that guy in the Old Testament where he... God did all these miracles for him, and then he went to the doctor for his health, and then anyway, and he died because he turned to the physicians. And see, he don't want us to turn to them people. I mean, I know there's a place for him and everything like that, and that's your own choice. But he is a jealous God, and he loves pouring out his blessings on you, especially if you do things his way. And see, your wealth is not in your... tax return, and it's not your wealth. Your wealth is in your children and everything that you have, the breath that you have and the health that we have. That's where the wealth is. And we got all, you know, the deceitfulness of riches. And I know quite a few people that are in that, saying they just think they got the world by the tail, but they, one thing is, they're all getting older.
Amen. Well, I got a message here, too, that from somebody that says, get ready for the influx of Haitians being brought into the country, 50,000 of them over the next 60 days. And that comes from a pretty reliable source. And I think that, yeah, those Haitians, man, they can be nasty. I know that over here, they brought a lot of them in. And I'm not sure how long ago, it was several years ago, but they went, they came into just east of us in eastern Colorado. And the people that rent houses over there, they talk about it, and they say, do not rent a house. Everybody that you talk to in the property management, real estate market over there says, do not rent a house to a Haitians. They're the most disgusting, dirty people that that you'll ever run across. And I mean, I've seen what they do to houses when they move into them, and it's just, I mean, it's absolutely disgusting the way that these people live. But that'll be interesting to see.
See, Jason, you just hit on a key point, Jason. You don't have to do business with those Haitians. You don't have to do business with those people that are getting the $3,000 a month check. If you know who they are, why do business with them? Why sell them a gallon of milk? Why sell them? Why rent them a house? Why sell them, you know, a vehicle or whatever? You don't have to do it. You know, a lot of this stuff, like, people just, they want to blame what the government's doing, all this other stuff. You can counter it. You have the ability to counter it. Like, everything we're talking about, you can. What we're talking about is how we are going to react to everything that's going on around us, whether it be happy. Whether you're talking about all these immigrants, how are you going to react? All these things are good things. You need to train yourself. Well, how am I going to react with them? How am I going to, you know, if I'm bidding a, I don't know if I should say that, but you need to learn how to react to everything that's going on around you. Like Jason just said, the Haitians tear up the owners of the house that are renting them to them. Don't rent to them. Don't do it. Let them have their money, have their free money, this and that. If nobody rents to them, where are they going to go? What's going to happen? They will just eventually disappear. You know, that's the way I see it. So react properly to everything that you see going on around you.
Well, we have this influx of all these people. Now, I say if this is God's hand. You take Ezekiel there in the Valley of Dry Bones, he said, and when he kills these people, he's going to be glorified. And these people are going to pour in here, and I think it's going as we speak, and I'm not positive about that, but it sure looks like it. These people are pouring in here. We can't stop it. I heard Biden is flying these people in now because that's what I seen this week. I don't know if it matters or not, but I wouldn't put a pass on that. They're just defying trying to destroy America. Well, America means heavenly kingdom, and God took us across the Red Sea through Europe and here. He's not going to abandon us, but I think we're going to pay a price for that. But that great falling away had to happen. It's scriptural, and it's in progress. These people, I remember one time I stopped in a gas station, and I come way out in the middle of nowhere. I said, well, I'll give that guy a little business. Well, I go in there, well, it's in a raghead. Well, I don't go there no more, and there's another one. The price is always cheaper. But I don't go there. I'll just pay the long dollar. But I don't know if it's any different because the corporate things ain't much difference, you know. But these ragheads, they look at you with contempt. I mean, you can see it in their eyes. They just look like you, like you're dirt. Well, it's actually the other way around. But they have no love for us. And they hate us, and they hate God.
Yeah, absolutely, that's for sure. Tim, we haven't heard from you very much. What do you got to say?
Well, I'm absorbing. We got a lot of good stuff going on today, and I think that one of the comments I'm going to make in regards to these Josh was saying as far as the you know, your joy and those things is I don't think it's also not a question of whether you're going to struggle with it sometimes, because you are, I think. But the other thing is to remember that the door, Christ has an open door policy. We can go in and say, well, Lord, I need some joy. I need some wisdom. I need some energy. And he says his hand is open to us. He gives to us freely. And I think that we need to remember that we have that ability, and I know Josh knows that too. I'm not trying to be that way. I'm just saying more for everybody's overall viewpoint is, you know, even Elijah got worn down. I remember him crying out there in the desert, you know, and in no way am I fit to make fun of him or to cast any shadow upon him, but just the fact that, you know, he went and God said, oh, get up. You know, everything's okay. Let's go. You know, and I think that a lot of times we just don't. I'm sitting here thinking about these farmers and different things as far as that goes as well. And I think it's interesting and of note that, you know, the EU has knuckled under their demands already, but they're still continuing because they want to get rid of the EU now. I mean, they're like, hey, you know what? We want you guys out. I mean, we're tired of you. And we know that if we quit, you'll be right back in there in, you know, 3 weeks with some new thing, because we've seen it before. It won't be new. It'll just be the old with some new dressing on it. I was just thinking of 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in his age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. And the significance of that is that he's the one who catches them. You know, I mean, we're just tools in the shed, and sometimes sharp ones and sometimes dull ones, but we're all used according to God's plan and purpose. And their end's well on the way. I mean, you know, it's coming. So, and they know it.
Well, yep. You know, one of the deceitfulness of things is legislators, state, federal, and all the things, they don't make law. They make policy. And that's the difference between a policeman and a sheriff, supposedly. Although sheriffs have become policemen, but policemen carry out the policy of the corporation. And those are the laws that they make, but they're man's laws. You know, the Bible, the one lawgiver, and they see if all these people would turn back to the law of God, it converts the soul. And that's what the real missing link is here. These farmers, are, you know, they're fighting a system that they helped create, actually. And if they would turn to Scripture and quit trying to stay in the system, you know, this is the whole thing. Everybody years back, people want to go back to where it was comfortable. You know, I lived through some pretty comfortable years financially and everything else. But the thing of it is, it's not God's way. And we got to, you know, these farmers, the whole world needs to go back and read the law of God and convert the soul. And then they will see where they're wrong. Not the law converts the soul, and this, we don't live by it. I mean, you know, some people get real rigid about it, but it's good if it's used properly, the Bible says. So,
yeah. Much of the time, we confuse comfort with something being good for us. Most time, it's the exact opposite. You know, what the flesh sees as comfort is normally not good for you. Back to the conversation of you know, happiness, let something steal your joy. It feels real good to just unload on somebody and let them have it. This waitress for messing up your order or whatever, but that's not what you should do. You know, most of the time you should think about, okay, what about her side and what she's got going on, and you know, her mom's sick and she's working two jobs trying to make ends meet and stressed out about her and this and that. Well, most of the time, we don't care about the other person's side of the story. We just look at what we want and how it affects us, me, and your comfort level. It's not comfortable to have to work hard to make a good living, but it's better for you than to have somebody in. It's better for you than the government's way when that check comes to the mailbox. I say that. You don't have to walk to the mailbox anymore. Direct deposit. They figured out a way to make it easier than walking to the mailbox. I mean, you got to respect what these guys are doing. They're good at it. You know, we used to make the joke of all we got to do is walk to the mailbox for a living, and we didn't think there was any way to one up it, but they did.
Yep.
That's not good for you. It's not necessarily good for you to just be comfortable. And if you look at the Bible time and time again, you know, that's not what it's about, is to be fat and happy and comfortable, you know, in that sense. It's to be thankful and to appreciate what God's given you and be content in the fact this is what I got today, and I'm going to take it because God gave it to me, and then I'm going to do just like the parable of the talent and silver. I'm going to take what God gave me, and I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to work hard and put in my sweat, equity, labor, and we're going to turn this one into 10, and I'm going to give another one back to God because that's the way He's got it set up. And the point is that just, you know, comfort is not always the best thing for us. Sometimes the best thing for us is to be uncomfortable, but where we're supposed to be.
Well, you take the widow's mite. She gave from her, she gave her in poverty, she gave what, and she put God first, and she took care of her. You see, and that is far more powerful than having $1 million on a paper bank. And that's what it comes down to. It don't matter how much you make. You tithe and just see what God does for you. Even if you're broke, do it. He won't, you know, he will honor it and he'll take care of you. So it ain't how much we have financially.
It's
how much
it's all his anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, if we are wealthy, that's not better. But you got to be like Abraham. He was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son for when he's 100 years old, just about. And he had faith, and that's the thing that we need, with or without money.
And that was the value to him. That is what he valued most in life, getting willing to give it up for God. So another note, Jason, I don't know if you've seen this up there, down here, there has been a big push back to cash. Like, a lot of places you go, they're offering not only sort of like discounts for cash, but penalties if you pay with credit or debit card. I don't know if you're seeing that or not.
Yes. I was, and I was in a an appliance store a couple days ago, and I know the owners of it, and was talking with them about it, and you know, they said that basically that the credit card, debit card companies, whatever their service is, basically they sign up with a service, and that's when they can, where they take the credit cards. You know, and they said it used to be like 1.5%, then it went to 3%, and you know, it just keeps going up and up and up. And basically, it's, you know, and they said that it, you know, that's how people don't carry when they're going out to buy an appliance. I mean, your average appliance, if you're going to buy a microwave, you're at $200 or $300. But if you're at a range, you're at the, you know, $700 to $3,000. And people just don't they don't carry that kind of money around anymore. And people don't use checks. It used to be you go in and you write a check for something like that. They said the problem with that is, you know, they can't even take checks because, you know, the fear of, you know, somebody bouncing a check or it being a bad check or being fraudulent or something like that. And you know, they said that they've had to deal with that, and it's just a nightmare dealing with it. So, you know, they've got a, you know, they're offering basically a discount now, encouraging people to use cash because it saves them so much money.
I was listening to this one video. I forget where it was, but anyways, he was talking about the money system, and I think it was on fractional banking, and the guy just put this video out, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. Anyways, he was saying for all the dollars that are in people's bank accounts, and whether it be a personal bank account, business bank account, whatever, the actual cash that is in existence compared to what is in people's accounts, like a digital, you know, but like what they say, if you go to an ATM machine and you check your balance, you know, and say you got $5,000 in the checking account, there's actually only 3% of the cash that is in actual existence versus what is in people's accounts. And I would listen to that, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, we could be in some serious trouble here. So, well, we could be, we are, you know, and, you know, I just thought that that was really amazing. So that's just something I heard a while back.
Well, and it's like, if you go to the bank to try to get five grand, you know, cash, they look at you like you're a criminal, you know, and then sometimes, or a lot of times, you can't even get it. You have to go to a couple banks to get, you know, the amount of cash that you're looking for if you want to buy some cash. But I 100% believe that because of just experience, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's a
paper. But every one of these.
Somebody's going to light a match.
Every one of these little. You're right. But every one of these little things where people are waking up and they're seeing, those are victories. Like, those are W's. And it might not be the war, but it's battles that are going in the right direction. The veil's being lifted from people's eyes and they're seeing the truth. You know, and when you see something here and see something there, and all these little instances, it makes it easier for you to question the bigger things, because if they're lying to us about all these little things, then, well, maybe there's a bigger lie. And I'm thankful for them, and we should be thankful for them. We get an opportunity to say something about it, peel back that onion, explain it to somebody. We should, and that's what we should be doing.
Amen. You know, we joke about, we need some new conspiracy theories because the old ones have come true. And many people, you mention that, and they'll agree with you, whether it's because of the invasion, you know, that these newcomers, as DC says, are illegals. Heck, the president even said that the other day, that it was an illegal that killed. He got her name wrong, but Miss Lake and Riley out in Georgia, and that goes against the left agenda. But anyway, yeah, the whether it's vaccinations. You've got whole states now that say no, don't take any more COVID shots, and it just goes on, and it is like you've mentioned, Josh, that it's people waking up. You got farmers that are saying, listen, this insanity is not working anymore, and truck drivers, and it just goes on, and the enemy doesn't stop. Like you mentioned, or somebody did, about the Haitians coming in. I don't know if you've seen what's happened down in Haiti, but they're in full revolt. They all but took over, the gangs down there all but took over the airport. They've overrun everything down there. It is chaos and anarchy. And that's the plan, is to bring that here. So, yeah, the people are waking up. The conspiracy theories, it is time for a few new ones. And everything Biden does is perfect. You know, the State of the Union speech he gave the other night, where he was yelling and more so than anything, and it sounded just like the one from the previous year, pretty much the same thing, just rehashed, and the Democrats just love it. Oh, this was so great, and I'm so excited. He's fighting for us for democracy, and it's all just words. And the times that we're in, I tell you, it makes me think more and more when we read through about how they were eating and drinking when Noah entered the ark, and everything was just like it had been always, like it was yesterday and like it was the day before, and they were planning marriages and just going about business as usual, except for those that were saved. And they were conspiracy theorists until it started raining. And I think that rain, or the equivalent of it, is on the way again, because we see the times, we see the apostasy, and you know, like you said, Zach, we are in trouble. We are. The money is fake. The people are starting to realize it, and it's all coming to a head. This Babylon she's going down.
Well, we're not really in any more trouble than we choose to be, because we know the law. We know how to do what God has for us to do. And when we choose to turn our back on him, that's when we get our trouble. Yes. Truthfully, they're the ones that are in trouble. It's their system they're following. That's why they have pulled out the plug to try to flood us with everything that they can do to push us back and hold us down. But that 11th hour message still rings true. And the last guy that gets in the boat, still in the boat. And that door is not closed. So it's our job to be the ones out there waving the flag, firing the shots, or whatever, wherever God's got you stationed.
Exactly.
Your job to be bringing those people in. And it ain't too late. And, like, I plan on being the guy that's prospering on the last piece of ground, you know, whenever their stuff comes to an end, because the Bible don't say that I can't. It says that we can prosper if we abide in him. If you're in that shelter of the Almighty, we can still be standing firm whenever everything turns around and comes back his way. That's actually our job, is to be the ones that are standing firm, holding the line, whenever people come back to him.
It is. And it's, well, not having the most guns and ammo stored up or the most food. You know, in Pastor's Fight of Faith series, the message he did, the bravest thing Elijah ever did, and it was that he put God first. He tested God. He put God first. And he prospered, and those that obeyed him prospered and lived through the calamity. And I think that's a great example for us today. It's, you know, where's your trust? If it's in God, and your obedience is in him, and your faith, then you'll be okay. You'll get through it.
I don't trust in them, but I really do like guns and ammo.
I do too. They're a good. They're certainly a good backup. And a bucket of food or two is not a bad idea either.
That's not as much fun though.
No, and you know, that's one of the things. Well, first of all, I did, Derek chimed in and he said that, yes, from his understanding, here in Canada, you have to order large amounts of money in advance, 2 days before picking it up. And I was thinking back in 2020, I remember the headlines on several, I think it was an MSNBC article that said that could the stopping use of cash help stop the spread of the coronavirus. And I remember back then going into a Whole Foods, and you know, I mean, I use a debit card or a credit card to, you know, pay for a lot of things, and but, you know, try to always have some cash on me. And you know, sometimes went into the Whole Foods and there was signs all over the place that said no cash, we are not accepting cash. And at that point in time, I just turned around and walked out. It's like I wasn't going to buy anything. It's like, you know, it's like when cash is outlawed, and it just it made me furious that they were doing that. But you know, they've constantly tried to do that. But you know, you go, you swipe your card, you 3% here, 3% there, it adds up, and it's you know, taking money out of society in a big fat way. And a lot of people, you know, really don't realize it. And you know, I always try to, you know, tip my waitresses and stuff with cash, because that's money that goes in their pockets, and you know, they don't get taxed on it, and they don't have to pay the credit card fees on it too. So you know, keeping money in society, I think, is important. But you know, like we were saying, we've been talking about this, these invasions. We've got a whole slew of new gun control laws, that gun control bills, laws, things that have been passed, things that are coming up and they're voting on here in Colorado. And I know that I've looked at some other states, and it's happening basically all over. The one that this SB 24-131 prohibits the carrying of firearms in sensitive spaces. This bill is a carbon copy of California's SB 2, which was struck down in the Ninth Circuit Court. It bans carrying in almost all public spaces, including churches, college campuses, aquariums, zoo, etc. Then action date is 07/01/24, and that's one that they just they got through just recently. But it's you know, Colorado's been one. I mean, we've been able to carry on college campuses for about 10-12 years now. I'm not sure when they changed it. It used to be illegal, but they changed it and made it legal because, you know, basically students and teachers, there was so much stuff happening on campuses, and they said, hey, we want to be able to carry our guns. And they changed that and made it where it was legal for them to do so. Now they're trying to take it away. And, well, just did take it away. They haven't enacted it yet. But at the same time, Wyoming, it's been illegal to carry a firearm on a college campus since I got my CCW 20-some years ago. And they just came out, and they're changing that, making it legal to finally be able to carry on a college campus. But we've got so many of these bills that are coming up here in Colorado: disarming schools, gun shop extinction bills, gun purchase tracking. All of these are different House bills that they're trying to get through. The gun and ammo tax is a big one, 11% guns and ammo tax, and they want that on the presidential ballot. Firearm owners' liability insurance is a big one that they're really trying to push right now. And I mean, a lot of these that, you know, I don't see them getting through and I don't see them passing, but boy, they keep coming back and coming back again and again and again. And,
if you're interested in moving to Louisiana, we did just pass as a constitutional carry, so you don't have to have a concealed carry permit in Louisiana now.
Well, that's good. And did Nebraska pass that as well? I think they did, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, and Wyoming did as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's now a total of 29 states that have passed that now, which is just good news. Good news.
Yes.
Well, and truthfully, they shouldn't have to be a law of that because we've already got that. No. Right. You know, we know that, but
right.
Still,
it just—I mean, it shows you've got an army invading, and you're trying to disarm the people. I mean, you know, what could go wrong?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, gentlemen, we are out of time.
Idea.
Closing thoughts. We got about 2 minutes.
Put all the feminists on the front line.
No, just and so as me and Zach were talking about earlier, be thankful, be content for what you have, but also you're supposed to be doing your work and you're supposed to be growing what God gives you. That don't mean you're not content. That means you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so put in the work, and we need to do what we're supposed to be doing. And whenever He comes back, you know, we want Him to be happy with us. We want Dad to be proud. Don't quit.
Amen. And Derek chimed in, and he said, and keep in mind that the Lord authorized the use of firearms. Luke 22:36, then He said unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. I think that's a good one to go out with. Folks, I want to thank you for tuning in. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. Have a good weekend.
Sure.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war, to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up.